Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member, and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co. at podgo.co. Hello and welcome to episode 30 of Four Quarters with Josh McKinney. We have reached the final episode of 2020, folks. As I've said, we're taking the rest of December off. We're coming at you bigger and better in 2021, but today, a very entertaining episode on tap. Momentarily, we're going to have this day in sports history, and then we're going to switch gears. I'm going to welcome my wife, Christine, to the show. We are going to have some very fun segments. We're going to try a little word association, which we'll explain when we get there. After that, the return of two fan favorite segments. First of all, we're going to have a fantasy draft in Happily Ever Drafter as we draft movie villains. And after that, with Christmas coming up and us taking a little break, we've got to get some Christmas on the show. So we will rank our top five favorite Christmas movies in Ranky Panky to end the show and the year. But before we get there, let's get in to our first segment of the show, This Day in Sports History. So for today's installment of This Day in Sports History, I want to go through it pretty quickly. I've got three notable births for you today. First of all, on December 2nd, 1953, professional golfer Jay Haas was born in St. Louis, Missouri. Currently a member of the PGA Tour Champions, which was formerly known as the Senior Tour and the Champions Tour, Jay Haas won 9 PGA Tour events and has added 18 tournament victories since joining the PGA Champions Tour. Nevertheless, Haas hasn't won a tournament since capturing the Toshiba Classic Trophy in October 2016 with a three-day total of 197 that was good for 16 under par. Haas comes from a family of pro golfers, as his brother Jerry used to play on the PGA Tour and is now the coach of the Wake Forest University golf team, while his son Jay Jr. is also a former member of the PGA Tour, and his other son, Bill, is currently on the PGA Tour, having won 6 events thus far since earning his PGA Tour card beginning with the 2006 season. Jay Haas's highest world ranking was 17th in September of 2003, and while he never won a major championship, he did finish tied for third at both the 1995 Masters and the 1999 PGA Championship, and tied for fourth at the 1995 U.S. Open. Our next notable birth came on December 2nd, 1983, when Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers was born in Chico, California. Widely considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history, Rodgers has 397 career touchdown passes against just 88 interceptions. And during Sunday night's 41-25 home victory over the Chicago Bears, he became the 11th player in NFL history to surpass 50,000 career passing yards. 5 other active quarterbacks have also reached that threshold, including Drew Brees and Tom Brady, who are number 1 and number 2 currently, along with Philip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and Matt Ryan. Aaron Rodgers also has 29 rushing touchdowns and 3,212 rushing yards in his 16-year NFL career, to go with a 103.3 passer rating and a 64.8 completion percentage. Not only that, but Rodgers helped Green Bay win Super Bowl 45 over the Pittsburgh Steelers at the old Cowboys Stadium in Arlington, Texas in 2011. And he's a 2-time league most valuable player, an 8-time Pro Bowler, a 2-time first-team All-Pro, and a one-time second-team All-Pro. This season, Rodgers has 33 passing touchdowns and 4 interceptions to go with 3,100 passing yards for the NFC North leading Packers, who are 8-3 and host the Philadelphia Eagles this Sunday. Our final notable birth happened on December 2, 1992, when New York Yankees catcher Gary Sanchez was born in Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic. A 2-time American League All-Star and a 2017 Silver Slugger Award winner, Sanchez made his Major League Baseball debut with the Yankees on October 3, 2015, and has been the team's primary catcher for most of his big league career. Sanchez has 115 home runs in 421 career games and also has 65 doubles and 366 total hits to go with 286 RBIs and 245 runs scored. As for the Yankees, they have made the playoffs in 5 of the 6 seasons since Sanchez's MLB debut, including back-to-back 100-win campaigns in 2018 and 2019. However, the Yankees are still in search of their first World Series appearance since defeating the Philadelphia Phillies in 6 games in the 2009 Fall Classic, although they have reached the American League Championship Series on 4 occasions since. Okay, so now that that's out of the way, we're going to head into the rest of the show. I am joined, as I said last week, by my wife, Christine, who will be with me for the rest of the show. We've got some fun segments on tap to finish up the year. As I said multiple times, we will be taking the rest of the year off for the holidays, enjoying a little break, and coming back at you in 2021. But before then, we wanted to leave you with some fun stuff. We're going to try a segment, first of all, that we have never done on the show, and it's called Word Association. Came about, actually, Scott Delafave had said I should do something like this for McKinney's Mailbag last week. If you haven't listened to that, it was an entertaining installment of that on last week's show, but decided to wait until this week, have my wife join me, and just try it and see how it goes. I'm going to have a word here just in a few seconds that I'm going to say. One word, and then my wife Christine is going to come in, and she'll have a word, one word, and then I'll have to play off of her word, first thing that comes to mind for each of us as we go. We'll do this for about 5 minutes or so, approximately, and see where we end up. And so it'll just be first word that comes to mind when you think of whatever the previous word was from your spouse. looking forward to trying this out, and hope you guys enjoy. Let's play a little word association. First word I've got for you, Thanksgiving.
Food.
Turkey.
Gravy.
Mashed potatoes.
French fries.
McDonald's.
Ooh, McRib.
Ready for that to be back.
I went to the drive-thru the other day like a fool and was like, do y'all have the McRib yet? And they were like, no, I still got like 3 more days.
So this is on the McRib. Mm-hmm. Pickles.
Ooh, onions.
Layers.
Ogres!
Shrek.
Donkey.
Gingerbread man.
The muffin man.
Cupcake.
Dessert.
Pie.
Whipped cream.
Oh.
Why are you laughing but diabolically?
I don't know.
Is a family show.
Yeah. Strawberries.
Ooh, strawberry shortcake. Like your grandma's pound cake, rather. She puts that stuff with strawberries.
Fruit.
Fruit salad.
Grapes.
Wine.
Alcohol.
Tequila.
Who sang that song?
I have no idea.
I'm thinking of the Tequila Makes Your Clothes Fall Off country song.
He threw it way back.
That's not a Toby Keith.
I have no idea.
I don't think so, but I'll go with...
He ain't wrong.
I'll go with Toby Keith.
Is Toby Keith always the one that sings about America?
Yep.
Dang it. Cowboy hats.
Horse.
Old Town Road.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Song.
That could be anything. Sexy back.
Ooh, Justin Timberlake.
Pop.
Rihanna.
Disturbia.
Ooh, scary.
Halloween.
Haunted House.
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, Disney. I see where you went there.
Yep.
There's a connection.
Yeah. I said Disney.
Oh, you went Disney.
Yeah,
that's your word.
Disney.
Okay.
Universe
wow.
to choose from.
Nickelodeon.
Ooh, SpongeBob, of course.
Patrick.
Krusty Krab. This is going to be a test of Josh's SpongeBob knowledge. Is this the Krusty Krab? No, this is Patrick!
Mr. Krabs.
Money.
Donald Trump.
How could you? Skyscraper.
Dwayne Johnson. Movie, Skyscraper.
Oh gosh, yeah, you're right. How about The Rock?
Stone Cold.
Beer.
We're back.
Beer.
Drunk.
Sleepy. Because I get a little sleepy.
Snow White? Is that one of the dwarfs? Don't remember.
Is Snow White one of the dwarfs?
No, she's not.
Sleepy? Yes. Yes, he is.
That's a dwarf.
It
yeah,
is.
That's the connection.
Oh my gosh. I just thought you said it because
these are deep cuts.
I thought you said sleepy because she literally is like put to sleep.
No, I mean.
Like she's put under a spell, poisoned. Oh my word.
Okay. No, that makes sense too now.
It sure does.
Okay.
You said
Snow. I said Snow White.
You right. said Snow White. I said apple.
Apple sauce.
Pork chops. We always have apples and pork.
Ranch. It was a good recipe with ranch dressing on pork chops.
Carrots and ranch. Carrot.
Bugs Bunny.
Elmer Fudd. If you say wabbits, I will die.
I was about to say wabbit season.
Be very, very quiet.
I was also thinking about saying guns, but didn't they take his guns away in the new one? Or am I?
I think so.
Because now he's got like some sort of weird knife looking anvil thing. I don't know what it is.
What?
It's weird looking, but it is.
An anvil with a knife on it. That's
I mean, I don't know.
Real.
I mean, I don't know what it's exactly called, but it's like a
scythe? You're describing
that's
a scythe.
That's it.
Oh,
it.
Oh, no.
That is it. Yeah.
Oh, no. It's your word scythe? I mean, jeez.
I don't know where we're at.
I said Elmer Fudd. I said Elmer Fudd.
We went off on the rabbit trail, or wabbit trail there.
Wabbit trail?
Anyway.
So we're at Elmer Fudd.
Daffy Duck.
A temper.
The Incredible Hulk.
Green.
Boogers.
Ew. Kleenex.
Toilet paper.
Paper towels.
Brawny.
Buffalo plaid.
That seems like a good place to stop.
No.
Because I'm kind of stumped.
So, we started with, what, Thanksgiving?
Yep.
And now we've all made it all the way here to Buffalo plaid. Don't ask us how we did it, but we went to Shrek. We went to the Orange Man in Office.
We went through several fruits and desserts, I believe. Some alcohols.
We went to classic cartoons. I don't even know. But that's our first ever game of word association. So let us know if any of these surprised you, because kind of surprised me.
Yeah, for sure. Now, we've got a couple games that we are more used to playing on the show that we've done before. Coming up, first of all, I want to move into Happily Ever Drafter. And for today's draft, it came about because on Sunday, the original Darth Vader actor passed away. I believe he was 85 years old, but he passed away and is well known as one of, if not the greatest movie villain of all time from the Star Wars movies. So what I thought we would do today is do a fantasy draft of movie villains. And we'll each end up with 10. They can be animated, live action, whatever. There's a ton of them.
Just generally a villain.
Yeah. So, if you haven't listened to the show before or not familiar with how we do the drafts, I let my guest or my wife, when she's on, she's done... You've done multiple drafts with me, so I always let you have the first pick.
Yep.
And then we'll do two apiece, moving forward. It's like a snake draft because I would pick first in the second round, you in the next, on and on.
Right.
But two picks apiece until the last pick, right, which you will then get, yeah, since you got the first pick.
Right.
So, Christine, how do you want to start us out in the movie villains draft?
First of all, this is hard because a lot of our other drafts you and I have done together, we've limited it to either animated or non-animated films or TV shows or movie characters or show characters. Like, we've not had an entire spectrum of, like, the epithet villain to go from. So this was tough. But I'm going to start out with a person who has been in several different films. They actually lived and existed in real life, who I think is the number one villain probably in all of history in the world. And that would be Hitler or the Nazis, because they literally destroyed millions of people's lives. I don't even have to tell you why. I ain't even going to go there because, ooh, that'll get your blood boiling. But namely, in many, many movies, I mean, they were in The Sound of Music, Valkyrie, The Producers, which was more of a comedy, but you'd have to kind of see it to sort of understand why. A lot of different movies, nonfiction, fiction. I mean, I'm sure somewhere in Family Guy's been portrayed, American Dad. I mean, just a terrible, terrible human being.
Yeah, Hitler is definitely a name you don't really have to say anymore. That's like the ultimate terrible person who did unspeakable things. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. My picks are, actually, it's funny, my first pick is who I just talked about in the open of this segment, which is Darth Vader. And it's funny because there are epic rap battles, if you ever listen to that on YouTube.
Epic rap battles of history!
There is always been this ongoing thing between Hitler and Darth Vader, and Darth Vader always destroys Hitler at the end of it somehow.
In the rap part, yeah.
Like, no, I mean, he like destroys him.
Oh, yeah. Like, he makes him explode on screen. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, and I haven't watched a whole lot of epic rap battles in a while, but I can remember watching those. They were a whole lot of fun. Very adult, a lot of them, but very creative the way they're able to come up with things. So I'll start out with Darth Vader. To me, the best movie villain of all time. I'm not the biggest Star Wars fan, but I've always liked Darth Vader for some reason. I've always liked that character. And, of course, if you watch Star Wars, you know the story of Anakin becoming Darth Vader and all that.
Spoiler alert!
Moving to the dark side. I'm sorry if you haven't seen them yet.
Spoiler
You've had
alert.
Plenty of years to have seen the Star Wars by now. But anyway, that's my first pick. My next pick is going to be the Joker.
No, that was good. I was going to say next. Darn it.
My favorite Batman villain, and Heath Ledger was incredible in this role. Others have done a solid job as well in the Joker role, but I think Heath Ledger, known as the best, have not seen the new one with, we'll see if I can say the name right, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
I think I said it right there. Sometimes I want to go Jaquan or some crap. But anyway, I've heard it's pretty dark and difficult to watch. But I think of Heath Ledger's Joker when I think of the Joker. And I'll go with Darth Vader and the Joker, which leads Christine to two picks.
Yeah. I realize that my list that I have made of ones that I could think of is going to be really short because I'm going to have to be thinking of some on my feet here. I had quite a few cartoon ones that you probably didn't have. And I was trying to make my choices really now and going forward on, like, the level of evil that they have committed. Because I'm like, okay, this person might be really mean and rude, but, like, they didn't kill half of a civilization. So I'm going to go next with Thanos from the Avengers.
That's a good one.
Because, I mean, like, the dude literally snapped his fingers and caused half of creation, like half of living beings, to just disappear. Not disappear like we forgot about them. Like, he just was like, oh, the world would be better without half of you. And my logic is sound. And just, boom. Oh, God, we still cry. Josh won't be feeling good. And he'll just look at me and be like, I don't feel so good, Mr. Stark. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, the Spider-Man part when he goes is, I mean, he's my favorite. And so when that happened, that was when I really got pretty emotional, I've got to admit. But yeah, Thanos was definitely on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly high.
And the next one, I just wrote him in real quick because I realized, oh my gosh, like, oh, he's not, hang on, I'm going to have to undo this because I don't think he's a movie character. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm about to say Negan, but he's not a movie character. He's only a show. Negan in the Walking Dead series, he is literally the reason why I stopped watching after, spoiler alert, after Glenn's death, brutal death. I was sick to my stomach for 2 weeks. I couldn't watch. And still to this day, I've not seen a new episode of Walking Dead since like maybe two episodes after that terrible scene a couple seasons ago. But he is out since he's not a character. I'm going to go next with somebody probably not at all on your list. And that is Judge Claude Frollo from The Hunchback.
It was on my list.
Judge Claude Frollo. Not only was he basically racist to the gypsy people, but he was predatorial, like sexually predator. And he emotionally preyed on a handicapped man for his entire life. Like, he was forced to care for Quasimodo his whole life out of guilt. But didn't even call him, like, son or, like, a person. He was, like, beneath him. And then whenever Esmeralda wouldn't freaking give it up because he was garbage, he, like, fantasized about her, like, oh, my, ugh, disgusting. So he was, like, basically, if you can't, I can't have you, then I'm going to burn you alive. Like, this is some heavy stuff in freaking Disney right now. But that's my next one, Judge Claude Frollo.
Okay, there's a few different ways I could take this now, because as I was doing my list, kind of the first side was more live action, and then I started looking into animated movie villains, and so it's kind of thinking, which one should I go with here? First of all, I'm going to go with, from Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter, played by Anthony Hopkins, just a very scary individual.
Hello,
Clary. Yeah, and...
I don't think I've seen any snippets of those movies, the Silence of the Lambs, anything Hannibal Lecter. I don't think I've seen any of those in, like, years, because I was so young and I cannot stand scary stuff. And half of these villains in movies are from horror movies or from based on real life stuff.
Yeah, and after that is where it really got tough for me to decide who's next. But because I don't want him to get taken, I want to go with Scar from The Lion King.
He's like at the bottom of my list.
Scar probably, in my opinion, is the greatest animated movie villain. He's at least my favorite. And sounds terrible. He, you know, killed his own brother, tried to kill his own nephew.
No, he did. He pretty much did kill his own brother. Who, I think Scar was like the older brother, and he basically lost out to Mufasa. And, like, so he was already, like, jealous from being, like, weak sauce. Sorry, I got opinions.
But, yeah, Scar is a guy who is kind of cool, but also terrible in the things that he does. Yeah. But,
I read something earlier today doing my research for a couple of these names, that the scenes where the hyenas are marching, that I think they called it a goose step or a high, like, the high step that they were doing. It was literally modeled off of videos from, like, Nazi regiments, like, parading and marching around. Like, they literally took it from one of the greatest, as in size, terrorist groups in the freaking world in history and put animated hyenas.
It's pretty dark, but, you know, The Lion King, probably my favorite animated movie ever. I think it has the argument to be made that it is the greatest. And a great soundtrack, great story, all around just a phenomenal movie.
Okay, for my next, my number four, oh gosh, I gotta do 10. So many. For my number four, I'm going to go with He Who Shall Not Be Named, Voldemort. Lord Voldemort. So I made myself sit down and watch all the Harry Potter movies sometime last year because I hadn't seen them all the way through. And I was just like, I've got to see it all before I jump into the whole Potter universe, the whole like Hogwarts universe and see them all, see the story, see where it goes. I'm like, I heard somebody dies. I'm like, I need to see this. And I'm like, okay, Voldemort was creepy on the back of somebody's head on the Sorcerer's Stone. But I'm like, what am I missing? But yeah, he's a bad dude, like, and he's scary and ugly looking, and I really think his face shape and whatnot is supposed to be modeled after the look of a snake, which makes complete sense, because, like, that's his thing. So, yeah, I'm going with Voldemort. He literally killed people. He sends, like, bad guys. He just commands an evil army. So, yeah. My next one,
I wish I could see your list so I know what you
Well, you're not going to see my list, Christine. That's why I have my hand over it. And if I had not gone Scar, Voldemort was the other one I was considering part. I'm not a huge Harry Potter guy. Haven't seen all the movies, but I know he's a pretty terrible guy.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I'm pretty sure you're not going to pick any of those two. So I will go next with Joan Crawford and Mommy Dearest. You don't know who that is either. Okay, I was safe. So
I did read about that one.
I watched part of that movie as a kid. My mom had a thing, and y'all know in past episodes I've been on with Ranky Panky and Happily Ever Drafter. Like, my mom made me watch a lot of old classic films, scary movies, like action, Halloween films. Like, she really was like, you just got to see this. You just got to see this. And Mommy Dearest was one of those that, like, at some point I watched pieces of it with her, and it's based off of a true story. Like, it's an actual, like, memoir of the way this woman that Joan, the Mommy Dearest character, was modeled after. She was real. So, like, that is scarier to me than just a fictional person. Like, there was a real-life person who did these terrible things to their kid and psychologically, like, tortured her. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with her. Yeah, and also, I love you, Mom.
Yeah, and that's my mother-in-law, so I love you too. I was reading about Joan Crawford, like I alluded to in the movie. Not too familiar with it, but it was on a list or two that I looked at while doing some research. But my next two picks, and I'm not a big slasher film guy, but these are great villains, and they're both from slasher films. Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger are going to be my next two picks. I know there were Freddy versus Jason movies that pitted them against each other. I was always a little bit more of a Freddy Krueger fan than Jason. The guy who played Freddy Krueger was actually in one of my favorite Disney Channel original movies, The Paper Brigade, as the neighbor who they think is this weird guy, this scary guy, but turns out to be a really nice guy. And it's kind of just a funny little thing that they got him to do that part. But I'm going to go with those two as my next two picks.
A classic.
Yeah, I don't think there's any more description that needs to be said.
Just hearing those two names, like, I'm triggered and I'm back in my DJ booth at, like, Hickory Haunts. Like, if you have the group name, Jason Voorhees. Like, I hear that. Those two bad guys are two of the names that we had to call out pretty much every night at some point, at least once. So, cool. I suppose my next... So, I have five left. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I suppose my next one... This is going to be one that you are not going to choose. I'm like 99% confident that Josh does not know who or what this is. But I'm going to go with, it's not really a person. It's kind of more of a thing. But it's the Axiom computer from WALL-E.
Oh.
So in WALL-E, spoiler alert! In WALL-E, the ship that all the people are floating around on is basically on autopilot and has been on autopilot for, I can't remember how many years they said, but it was like... It was several generations of years. I mean, it was like several hundred years. It had just been floating through space. People were just getting fatter. Like, they never walked anywhere. They just were glued to their screens. Like, the earth was polluted and destitute. No, it couldn't harbor life. And so the computer, like, would not release control so that the captain could, like, snap everyone back into reality. Like, and that's the idea of technology taking over is kind of scary. So... I'm going to go with the Axiom computer in WALL-E.
WALL-E's got to be one of the cutest animated characters ever.
Yes. There's a lot of little hidden things in there, too. I read little Disney snippets and little Pixar snippets and stuff. And the scene in WALL-E where he's holding the little umbrella for Eve while she's holding the little plant in her little chamber. He's holding the umbrella and his battery is really low because it's been raining. And he gets struck by lightning, and then his little battery meter is back up in full because, like, the lightning strike burned him up. It literally charged his battery. So just little cute details like that are all in that movie. Okay. My next one is going to be Governor John Ratcliffe from Pocahontas. Again, probably another one you did not have on your list.
Nope.
He's the big old chunky guy with the dark hair and the ponytail who's very, like, snooty in Pocahontas. He is... very racist. He thinks that the Native Americans, who were, I think, really pretty, and, like, I think they were okay, they were pretty. They were animated. But, like, I think that they were represented really gently and, like, as a beautiful civilization. But he thought they were just scum and that he was just so racist towards them. He was very merciless. He was money hungry. It was all about the gold. Like, coming over to the Americas, the new lands, for men like him, for governors and the higher-ups, it was like you are cultivating, like, your legacy. You're cultivating your family's inheritance going forward. Like, you're, I mean, unbelievable amounts of money and power were gained from being the top guys in those expeditions. I looked up a quote from, or I mean, there was a quote in with my research here. This just shows how terrible of a person this cartoon character in Pocahontas was. He says, "This is my land. I make the laws here, and I say anyone who so much as looks at an Indian without killing him on sight will be tried for treason and hanged." Like, that's evil, bro. That's evil. So that's my next guy.
That's not very nice.
No, it's not.
My next guy has been in several movies. There's been several adaptations of it. But Norman Bates is my next one. Came up on a lot of lists, very high. And didn't want to let the opportunity pass to grab him. And after that, I am going to go back to Star Wars for my next pick. There is an old guy in Star Wars, Emperor Palpatine. And I'm going to go with him. I'm going to give Star Wars some love. They do have some good villains in that series. And obviously there have been many, many Star Wars movies. And so, you know, The Mandalorian, they continue to have spinoff shows and things. But I'll go with Emperor Palpatine to add to my Darth Vader from earlier. And, yeah, that'll be my next two.
So my last few, as you all probably would put money and bet on, they're going to be animated characters. The first one is going to be Hans from the Southern Isles in Frozen. It really pops out of nowhere as being a bad guy. I mean, it was like one of those spins at the very end where you're like, oh, no. He's the youngest of all his, I think, 12 brothers or 13 brothers. He has lots of brothers. And basically, he's never going to sit on a throne. He's never going to have power or sit on a throne unless he marries a direct royal, like a direct queen or princess. And like right at the very end, he basically is like, I'm going to let you die. Like, oh, I don't want to ruin it. But if you ain't seen Frozen, it's a pretty dark spin. Closer to the end. So that's my next guy. Ooh, I only have like three more on my comprehensive list here. I think next I'm going to go with, I can't remember what the actual name of the creature or spirit is, but I'm going to go with the other mother from Coraline. Remember watching Coraline with me? It's like a claymation, like papermation with the girl with the blue hair and she has a yellow rain jacket. Yeah, so like their thing is buttons on their eyes. Basically, this demon creature who is like trapped in this house or trapped somewhere lures children and steals their souls by having them sew buttons over their eyes. And so they're like, they die and their little souls are trapped. And so because Coraline is unhappy that they moved to this new place, basically the other mother tries to lure her in. And it's kind of scary because it lures her with the idea of a happier life, a happier home, like a more wonderful world in exchange for something seeming so simple, but Coraline's like, no. So I think it's really creepy. Yeah, my next one is the other mother from Coraline.
I'm going to stay with an animated one for my next pick. And there are villains that you're supposed to hate, but you can also enjoy. They're entertaining. For instance, the Joker, earlier on my list, Heath Ledger's especially, is very entertaining and has become known as the main reason that people love The Dark Knight and that film, his portrayal in that. At times, like I said, I like Scar. But another guy who's very entertaining as a villain is Gaston from Beauty and the Beast. So yeah. I'm going to go with him.
Oh, man. Gaston, he has a whole stinking song about him.
Yeah.
Ooh, do you know there's a good Easter egg in Beauty and the Beast? Where when Gaston starts to fall off of the roof, like he kind of loses his balance or something. And like the beast doesn't really push him, I don't think. But like he somehow starts to fall. And right as he starts to fall, like in his eyes are skulls. Like he sees death. So, like, if you go back and you get to watch Beauty and the Beast and you didn't know that, pay really close attention to Gaston's eyes, right? If you've, you know, never seen it before, sorry. But pay close attention to his eyes because skulls pop up in his eyes because it's like he literally sees his own death. That's pretty cool.
I just like him because he's hilarious and, yeah, just he's entertaining.
He's such a blockhead. Like, he's such a jock. Sure.
But he plays a great guy you love to hate.
Yeah.
And my last pick in the draft is going to come from the Terminator. Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first Terminator is the bad guy in the first film and is pretty much indestructible. A guy who they just cannot seem to get rid of. Ends up coming back and being the protagonist in the rest of the Terminator films. T2 also has a great bad guy that he battles, but I'm going to go with the first one. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, a menacing man, especially in his younger days, like in the first Terminator. So I will go with the Terminator as my last pick. Christine, you can close us out.
All right. I had two left on my list. They're both, again, Disney characters. I just can't help myself, y'all. I'm a child at heart and in my mind. I'm going to go with Dr. Facilier, also known as the Shadow Man from The Princess and the Frog. He is the kind of voodoo witch doctor type dude. He's very greedy, driven by money. I mean, he literally can communicate and strike a deal with like demons or like with the devil. So that's a little scary. There's a lot of little hints and stuff like his in the movie, like the wallpaper changes and it's like skulls, like just everything around him, like his style, the most over and under both done voodoo costume. I mean, everybody tries to look like Dr. Facilier, like as their voodoo themed costume, but he's like one of the model voodoo, you know, witch doctor type looks. Also, Keith David voices him so good. He voices him so well. So, that's who my last one is. The Shadow Man.
Yeah, and down
in Louisiana.
I had several other names I was considering on my list. Some other animated ones that I was thinking of were like Ursula, Maleficent, who I know the newer versions with Angelina Jolie has been made out to be.
Yeah.
See things more from her perspective.
Yeah.
And things, but.
There's a lot. I mean, just Disney-wide only.
Cruella De Vil.
Oh, yeah. She actually, like, kills creatures. So, she's another one that was up there in the evilness.
Captain Hook.
Hades.
Yeah, I love Hades.
Mother Gothel. Oh, my gosh. She is a little crazy.
I really like William Dafoe's portrayal of Green Goblin in Spider-Man, the Tobey Maguire version. He just has the perfect face for a bad guy.
Yeah. Sean Yu from Mulan. He has a whole army and wants to destroy and take over China. Like,
I mean, there's Pennywise from It.
Yes.
Agent Smith is from The Matrix, played by Hugo Weaving.
I mean, any superhero movie. If you have the good guy, you're going to have the bad guy. This happily ever drafter was hard. I mean, we could probably have drafted 100 each and still had another 500 more villains, you know, to go. So let us know what you guys think. I mean, who won?
As always, I share them on social media, our list, so you can check those out and let us know.
And we love to talk to you guys on those social medias, at least the ones that I'm a part of. We like playing around, putting memes, talking about, hey, I won. No, he won. No, they won. So we appreciate your feedback and your interaction with us on these lists and on the podcast in general. So what's next on the docket, Josh?
Well, last up for this show, we are going to do Ranky Panky, where we rank a top five of something. So today, obviously, we'll be taking the rest of the year off, coming back in 2021, as I said. Today, we're going to be ranking our favorite Christmas movies, our top five. We'll have some honorable mentions. And so, looking forward to that. The first time we've done both a draft and Ranky Panky, but we're having a lot of fun today.
Ranking our top Christmas movies, I knew it was a must. I know we're, you know, this episode's going to release, you know, the first week of December, but we just had to get one Christmas thing in here soon. We'll all be up to our necks in tinsel and wrapping paper here in a couple weeks. So, you know, we hope you all have a great holiday and let us know, you know, again, at the end and in the comments and wherever else you're listening, what you think of our top five Christmas movies.
I will start us out then with my honorable mentions, first of all. And I've got a new edition that just came out in 2019 on Disney Plus, the Noel movie with Anna Kendrick and Bill Hader. I thought it was really good. It was much better than I even expected. Just had a really sweet story and was very modern, obviously. Just enjoyed it. I thought they did a great job with that movie. Another honorable mention I've got, Batman Returns is actually set in the winter time and it's a Christmas movie. And that came out in 1992. Michael Keaton as Batman, Danny DeVito, Christopher Walken, Michelle Pfeiffer. Just a great cast. So I'll put it there on my honorable mention, though I don't really consider that maybe a Christmas movie. It's kind of the same reason that people consider Die Hard a Christmas movie, probably. But I'll put that on there. And if you haven't listened to our episode where we rank our top five Tim Burton films, that's one of mine, as a spoiler for that, that we did a few months back. My last honorable mention, it came out in 2004, but I actually didn't really see it until last year or maybe earlier this year. I may even watch it in quarantine. I don't remember. But Christmas with the Cranks. Tim Allen, yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis, and I've always been a big Tim Allen fan as a human being, also as an actor. He's just hilarious. And
I think I had like a random flashback to that movie, that scene where they're at the tanning bed and then like their priest walks in or something. Oh my gosh. I was shook.
It's a very funny movie. You know, they decide they're not going to have Christmas that year is what the whole thing is based around. And then they end up trying to throw something together. And so it's just funny. Those are my three honorable mentions.
I just had to scrounge up some honorable mentions because I really just had my top five. I guess I'm going to go with one that I mentioned in October for Halloween movies, Nightmare Before Christmas. There's a lot of little Christmas stuff in that one. I mean, they literally kidnap Santa Claus, like take over Christmas. Like I hear whenever I think of Nightmare Before Christmas, one of the songs I hear in my head is, you know, the song where Jack is like, what's this? There's something in the air. Like, and he's in Christmas Town and he's just like in awe of the lights and the beauty. That's how I feel. My next one is, I guess, Elf. I'm not super keen on Elf. I do like Will Ferrell in more than half of his stuff. Sometimes I can't handle him, but like
there's Eurovision.
Eurovision. Yes, Eurovision. And we like to go to the Eurovision. Well, that's a good movie. I do like that one. He just does awkward so good. But there's a lot of little quotes, sweet little phrases, quotable things. Like, I think once or twice a year, my family, like, gathers everyone around and is like, Chrissy, speak like the narwhal. And I'm like, bye, buddy. Hope you find your dad. Like, like there's just so many, like, little quotes and phrases that I think are cute. So those are my honorable mentions, Nightmare Before Christmas and Elf.
Okay, that leads us into number five for me. And my number five goes back to, and I'm going to have, three of my five came out in the 60s. 1966, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original one.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see a theme from my picks, a lot of them that I love movies from back at that time, animated films, and I just love that story, you know, the Grinch, and huge Max fan, love dogs, just love the story of him, you know, hating Christmas, and then the Who's in Whoville treat him right, and treat him just way better than he deserves, really, for the way he acts. He ends up coming to love Christmas, his heart grows, literally, in that film. It's only about 26 minutes long, but a great movie and
it's
just classic.
Yeah. It is. It's just classic. I mean, there are movies and films and things that we've grown up with, but it's like if we didn't see them or didn't remember them, we would feel like we were gypped because we didn't get to experience them again each year, even though we know exactly every moment of them. I'm going to go with another classic throwback. I don't know the year of origin because they've been around for so many years and they're still coming out with movies, but I'm going to go back to A Charlie Brown Christmas. Here, I ain't going to tell y'all where we live, but we live very close to Morganton, North Carolina. And in Morganton, there is a kind of rehab center, like a development center for the physically and mentally handicapped youth and adults. And every year to help kind of raise money and raise funds, and I mean every year that I can remember, the whole campus has like a drive-through light show. And it used to be called Western Carolina Center. It was called something else. And now it's like J. Iverson Riddle Development Center, right? But J. Iverson Riddle has these Christmas light displays. There's characters from movies, new stuff. There's stuff honoring the military. There's just random little characters and light up displays that are so nostalgic. Some of them have music. Sometimes there are little hidden messages or hidden characters throughout the whole drive. I mean, it's like 2 or 3 miles. I mean, isn't it not a couple miles of like track? I mean, you're bumper to bumper with cars, but like it's something that everybody loves to do. Like people will pack up the car full, roll down the windows. Everybody has their coats on because it'll be cold. You have like hot chocolate in your hand and you just ride through and listen to the music and look at the lights. Wherever you are, if you have a chance to roll through Morganton, I think the lights are probably up now. Please go through, support them, make a donation to the center. But really, one of my probably top 5 favorite light displays at J. Iverson Riddle is the Snoopy and Woodstock ice skating display. They have this, I don't know how the dimensions, but it's like almost like the size of a room. It's this big, kind of like snow globe with this snow flurrying around. I mean, it's like a life-size snow globe where Snoopy and Woodstock are going around and around in a circle. And literally all they are doing is just in a circle, around and around. But it plays some of the theme songs from Charlie Brown. And it's just one of my favorites because it's just pretty. And as a kid, I just was like, whoa, like how did they get the snow to move? Like, so Charlie Brown and the Christmas lights, those two, they're strongly connected for me.
Yeah, I've always loved Charlie Brown and the whole Peanuts gang. And, you know, I used to stay up and read comics. I had books filled with comics of the Peanuts and would just read page after page of different comics. And loved the Peanuts movie that came out not too long ago. It was great. And I've just always enjoyed watching Charlie Brown every year on, you know, the Great Pumpkin or Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever it may be. Just great messages in those. Number 4 for me, I mentioned this guy in honorable mention, Tim Allen. The Santa Claus from 1994. They did some sequels in the 2000s. But, you know, it does start out with kind of a morbid thing where Santa dies. So he has to replace Santa. But just a funny movie, really. I mean, trying to make his son happy, Charlie, and trying to kind of hide why his beard is growing. The way it does to become Santa. A lot of great moments. I still think the original's the best, even though the sequels have some good parts.
I know the original has that. I just don't know why sometimes I'll be daydreaming or I'll just, scenes from movies and stuff just pop through my head all of a sudden. But the scene where they go to this big business meeting, like he works for a toy company, which is like hella ironic, which they plan that. But they're ordering lunch, and he's listing off he wants this and this and this and this, and he keeps ordering more food and more food and more food. And, like, he's put on a lot of weight because he's physiologically becoming Santa. And so he orders more food, more food, and his excuse for gaining weight was a bee sting. And then after he gets done ordering, he's like, ooh, and some chocolate pudding. And then they're like, a bee sting. I feel that, bro. Like, I sometimes just want to eat. I always think that scene just came through my head the other day, and I was like, we need to watch The Santa Claus.
Yeah, I haven't watched the original in a while, but can remember watching it and really enjoying it. What have you got it for?
I have at number 4 the classic kind of claymation in 1970, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. I kind of wish I could put the whole claymation combo in there with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, with like the Rudolph sequel, like there's Frosty, the claymations in there. I mean, just all those that were kind of put together. But this is the Santa Claus kind of, it's like an origin story that was done in claymation where a little baby was left on the doorstep of the Klauses. They make toys, they're little elf people, you know, and they raise up the little boy to become like their son. And he takes over the family business of making and delivering toys. And there's the Burgermeister, Meister Burger. And he doesn't allow toys, he doesn't allow children and no color and no life. And so that classic claymation, I love it. Number one, because gotta represent the Ginger Ninjas, because Santa and his little girlfriend, who becomes Mrs. Claus, they're both redheads, and I think it's precious. But it's just a nice little cute movie about the origin story of Santa, and even though the music is hecka hippie, it's so hippie, but I'm like, I feel it. Like, it's so beautiful. But that's mine. It's called Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, it's a good one. Number three for me is going to be my final live-action film on my list. Came out the year I was born, 1990, Home Alone.
Yeah.
Obviously, the movie that Macaulay Culkin will always be synonymous with. And I know there were many sequels. I think Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, is pretty good as well. But the original one, him getting left home alone, obviously, which is the name of the film, and the hilarious hijinks that ensue, where the bad guys, the robbers, are trying to steal things from his house, and he just continues to foil them at each and every turn as a little kid. And his parents finally come back home. And
do y'all remember last year when people were putting on Facebook, it was spreading around like a shared post where it was like, wanted, these two criminals. And it was like a modern day picture of like Harry and Marv, the two intruders in Home Alone. And people were like, I can't believe that they broke into a home. Like, people didn't put two and two together that they were from a Christmas movie, but they were like sharing on Facebook, like, these men are wanted, we have to find them. It was crazy. But I'm sorry I interrupted you. I got real excited.
No, I mean, I was pretty much done, but that's my number three, Home Alone. If there's ever any live-action movie that you ask if I want to watch it for Christmas, that would be my first pick.
Now I know.
My number three pick is going to be The Polar Express. I think when The Polar Express was made, Disney was trying a new animation style, or like, it really was just one of the most lifelike movies. It's kind of old, I'm pretty sure, but I just thought it was so beautiful. Some of the songs are just so precious, and just the way that it was portrayed from the perspective of a child who was having doubt or having disbelief or just really, really wanted to feel that joy and spirit of Christmas. Like, man, it was touching. It was truly touching. And there were some scary parts and some action parts, kind of like another movie that I'm going to have on my list. Tom Hanks was the recurring character who, at least three or four of the characters were modeled after him and his facial features, like Santa was, the conductor. I think the little boy was supposed to look like him too as a child. But yeah, it's Polar Express for me.
Yeah, that's definitely a sweet movie with a great message. Number two, you already mentioned, came out in 1965, A Charlie Brown Christmas. Mm-hmm. I talked a little bit about my love of Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang earlier. Kind of speaks for itself. Just a huge fan of that. That's my number two.
So that's a good choice. Who's your favorite character or favorite song? Like, do you have kind of a favorite moment of that Christmas special? I know that Linus recites, you know, the Bible verse, which is always really sweet to hear. And
yeah, that might be it. That's definitely an awesome moment to see, especially these days when that's not exactly the message people are trying to put out about Christmas. Snoopy is probably my favorite character as far as the Peanuts, mm-hmm. and Joe Cool specifically. Those are funny segments when he is doing that. He and Woodstock together. I know we mentioned them in our cartoon duos draft,
yep.
As being so funny together. But
yep.
Yeah, that's just a great movie all around.
Yeah, the whole thing is just so worth paying attention to. My number two is going to be The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. This is the early 2000s one with Jim Carrey, Cindy Lou Who, who I am still obsessed over, not because of being Cindy Lou Who, but because she is now the lead singer of a band called The Pretty Reckless. And I am so obsessed with that band because they are kind of like I'm going to use this term and y'all are going to grill me for it, but they're kind of like a sexy rock band. And homegirl, she can still sing, but I'm like, oh my God, that girl is Cindy Lou Who, and now she's freaking rocking out. And I have her on my playlist. I played their music a lot at the haunt. And there's a lot of good quotable moments from that movie too. Like, out of my way, I don't have insurance. Like, I feel that because that's my job. But do you like that movie?
I do. I'm always partial to the original one that was animated. I have not seen the more recent animated one that I heard was not as good.
Yeah. I don't think it is. The Grinch story in general, though, just the story of, like, somebody, their heart being changed by the goodness or the kindness of others. That is such a transcendent message. So I love this Grinch one. Back when it first came out, this version that I'm talking about, my stepdad did a little research, and I think he said that Jim Carrey had to go through like counseling or something whenever he was making the film, because the hours and hours of makeup he had to go through, like he had to have some very serious like psychological counseling, because he said it was just agony getting it put on, and it was just so uncomfortable. Like, this is probably just a rumor, but like he had to get counseling by like the same type of people who counsel like veterans and like people who have gone through trauma and war. Like, he was just so traumatized by that process, which makes me really sad, because that means he probably will never do a sequel, but I still be quoting the Grinch real hard sometimes.
Yeah, and the whole character is just somebody who you feel for, because growing up they were made fun of.
Yeah.
And then people treat them right and flip their entire system. You see how they came to be how they are, but then at the end, the journey they make and become a great
member of society, yeah. Literally. And there's another good message in there towards the end, whenever they're celebrating him, is like, is it the Hoomeister? I can't remember. The holiday Hoomeister, or whatever it is. He's like the king of Christmas, basically. And at the end, whenever it all turns out just to be some ploy for the mayor to propose to the Grinch's old crush, he's like, you know what? Here's how I feel. Did y'all know that all these Christmas presents that you blow your money on, before the next Christmas, they all end up in your garbage? Like, all the stuff that you spend all this money and you do all this stuff to buy, you just want to spend, 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 it ends up in your garbage and it comes to me. So he gets to see all the frivolity and just skin deep stuff. I mean, am I preaching? Like, where is my choir? Because we still do so much of that same stuff today. Like, my parents, for example, my mom asks us every year, what do y'all want for Christmas? And, you know, this year, I think, or maybe halfway through the year, she was like, you know, y'all don't even remember what we got last year. Like, you remember some things in your stockings. We still get stockings because my mom rocks. But she's like, y'all don't even remember what you got last year. Like, we enjoy going to places and making memories. So rather than just spending money on stuff, like, let's have experiences. And I'm all for that. So just remember, personally, it ain't about the quantity of what you spend or how many gifts you get. For me as a kid, it used to be like, oh my gosh, I got 20 presents, or I got however many, 15 presents. It's about the quality time, because time is the biggest villain of them all. So it's about time you get to share together. And now that I've preached a whole sermon, we'll pass the offering plate and move on so Josh can tell you what his number one Christmas movie is.
So now I'm realizing that Time should have been my number one pick.
I thought about saying Time, because think about all the movies. Yes, because that Justin Timberlake
Benjamin
movie.
Benjamin Button.
Yes. And think about, what about that Justin Timberlake movie?
Yeah, that's a great
movie,
In Time.
In Time. Literally, the name of the movie is In Time. So I was thinking Time would be good, because think about all the movies where somebody died or somebody didn't make it. Spider-Man, where he couldn't get her in time, catch her in time. Oh, Josh about to cry.
Okay.
Like, Time should have been the number one villain. But anyway, back to Christmas movies.
Number one for me, and I love claymation Christmas films and specials, 1964, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is my number one. Another one where you have all these, you know, Rudolph himself, who has the red nose,
yeah,
and all the other Island of Misfit Toys, who, you know, and just getting to meet all those characters, probably my favorite part of the entire film. They've all been rejected, and kind of a theme, you know, the Grinch was rejected for being different. They were all rejected for being different, but become huge parts of Christmas. And Rudolph, again, you talk about cute characters, Rudolph, claymation from the mid-60s is just cute as can be.
Classic.
And
she's being so cute.
I don't like as much some of the later ones they did.
You don't like the one where he has to save Baby New Year?
Not really. Baby New Year's kind of annoying to me.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it's because of the weird little voices he makes in the big ears.
But
that's a good one, because he gets to explore all these different lands in all these different time periods. I think that's cute.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, number one is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Good pick. I guess I have a thing for Jim Carrey in movies because I'm going to go with number one pick for top Christmas movies, the Disney's animated Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey as like 50% of the characters. He is Ebenezer Scrooge. He is all three ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. He is his young self. He is in a lot of the characters. Every year, I feel like I deserve and should watch that movie because every single year we get to live another year. We face our own mortality. Time keeps rolling on. And the worlds we live in are not always bright and shiny. And every single breath of every single day is a blessing. So I love that movie. I think it's still really gorgeous. I think that is the movie that we went to go see in theaters on Christmas Day because I remember being so shook because it was in 3D and I was so shook at the end when he's running for his life and the Ghost of Christmas Future is like coming after him and it jumped out of the screen and I about messed myself because I was not prepared. It's such a good movie. What do you think about it?
Yeah, there are definitely some legit scary parts in that movie, and it is a timeless story that's been done over and over again, you know, I love Jim Carrey, you do as well, so big fan of his work, and although that's not on my list, definitely one that is a classic Christmas story, for sure.
It literally is classic in antiquity and in history. And if you're not into animation, but you're still like, I want more Charles Dickens, or I want to know about this story. There's also another version of kind of the story of A Christmas Carol. It's called The Man Who Invented Christmas. It's like the story of Charles Dickens trying to write this. His wife was pregnant again. He owed on his house. His managers were like, dude, you have to write another book or you're going to lose your house. And so he just is scrambling to try and put together this story and then trying to kind of heal himself from his own past and his own life and childhood. He drafts this story where he's trying to figure out who is Scrooge? Like, what is Scrooge going through? Like, it's a really good kind of backstory film about the making of Charles Dickens and A Christmas Carol.
I think we've got some great lists here of our top five favorite Christmas movies for each. For me, again, going 5-1, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the original from 1966, The Santa Claus, Home Alone, A Charlie Brown Christmas, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
For me, it was at 5, Charlie Brown Christmas, the 1970s Santa Claus is Coming to Town claymation, The Polar Express, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, and then number one, A Christmas Carol, both 1 and 2, starring Jim Carrey.
All right, well, that is going to put a bow on it. See what I did there? Christmas coming up for 4 quarters with Josh McKinney in 2020. This is 30 episodes now in the books, and a few much-needed weeks off. Rest for the holidays. Rest for our listeners, rest your ears, and get ready for the new year. Hopefully have some new segments on the way, great guests, got some really cool things in the works, I think, here on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney. Really have enjoyed doing this since April. Have enjoyed having you on, Christine, at times.
At times, yes. I know if you all have been listening since the beginning, since April at least, since we kind of revamped the whole podcast, a lot has changed. I mean, obviously, in April of 2020, the world was in a completely different place. You know, we didn't know the guests we were going to have. We really have just been kind of not really winging it, but because Josh's passion for sports and my knowledge of music technology, we've been able to kind of produce the type of show that you're listening to today. And we're so grateful for your listenership. If you guys have any topics you'd like for us to do, any segment ideas, I mean, if you might even be interested in being a guest, let us know. Send us a message. Tell us why. Let us know segments you like or podcasts that you've been influenced by or podcasts that we need to, you know, maybe we need to check out. We are growing, hopefully, you know, coming at you bigger and better in 2021. Like Josh said, with maybe new segments, hopefully better segments. We have a goal to do a live podcast where we have our sound effects ready and queued up so we can play our theme songs like you heard earlier for Happily Ever Drafter and Ranky Panky. You can hear those right from the beginning. So thank you again for your listenership. We are really grateful and appreciative, both of us. And we really wish you a great holiday, a great end of the year. And we look forward to sharing with you in 2021.
Yeah, and thank you to all the guests I've been able to get on the show. You know, she said, I didn't really know where this would take me, but I've connected with other people who have podcasts and other people who are involved in sports especially and professional wrestling fans. But it's been a lot of fun getting to kind of talk to new people, get to know them, have them on. Different voices I think are great on the podcast regularly, and we try to do that. And like my wife said, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. We'll be with you very soon. And I know it's been a difficult year. Hopefully much better things in store for 2021 for all of you. And here on Four Quarters with Josh McKinney, remember to follow me on Twitter at SuperJMac32, like Four Quarters with Josh McKinney on Facebook, and can't wait to talk to you guys in the new year. Thanks for listening to Four Quarters with Josh McKinney.
Be very, very quiet.
No, this is Patrick.